Turn to your neighbor and say, "You did get up this morning." All right, while you're receiving your notes for the morning message, I think we still have some able-bodied stewards. Yes, yes, they are distributing them now. That's good. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Revelation, the fourth chapter. And while you're finding that, I'll just tell you that I had a brief conversation with the owner of this particular building a couple days ago, and his latest information to me is that he meets tomorrow with the developer that he has decided upon. There were quite a number of options that he had in front of him initially, but he meets with the developer that will tear this building down tomorrow and get some sort of time frame as to when that'll be happening. He said, I will do right by you and give you, you know, at least 6 months' notice. And I said, well, whatever notice you want to give us, that's fine with us. I mean, if you said tomorrow, that'd be fine. Because we're out of here. Are we not?
Yes.
We've taken possession of another place, so it's only a formality. So I want to make you aware of that anyway. Stand to your feet as we pray and look to the Lord today to advance us in grace. Father, thank you today that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, we are thankful for all those things that you do and the opportunities that you provide and your faithfulness to meet us at every crossroad of life. Today, Lord, we give thanks that we are your sons and your daughters. Nothing and no one can pluck us out of your hand. Help us today as we look into your eternal word to see in the mirror, Lord, those things that you want us to see and to grasp and embrace those truths that make us more like you. Grant the spirit of revelation to be upon us all, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, actually, with a few major changes, you'll be all right. I know, you're blessing each other, I can tell. Some of you just kind of got into that a little bit too much. Revelation chapter 4, as we look at your worship life, and verse 11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." If God's worthy of it, then we ought to give it. Glory, honor, and power. "For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being, except for those that have evolved through the millions of years." Sorry, that wasn't in there. Turn with me also to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We just saw that God is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. Romans chapter 12, and the NIV says, "Therefore, verse 1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," we've just been singing about God's mercy, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." That's what we were just celebrating here a few moments ago. God offered back to himself the sacrifice of his son. You say, "Pastor, what's that to do with worship?" Well, let's continue with the verse. "Offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Each word in the Bible is important. He said, I want you to offer your body as a living sacrifice, as opposed to all of the sacrifices that were offered under the old covenant, in which they were dead sacrifices. You had to kill a lamb or a sheep or a turtle dove in order to offer it to the Lord. You didn't place it live on the altar. You actually killed it. And they butchered it, basically. They butchered it, and they put certain parts here and certain parts there, and gave some to the ministry, and poured the blood in certain places, etc. So it was you know, just kind of like your local butcher shop when you were standing next to the priest there. And that was the offering process. It was a sacrifice of that animal's life, but it was a dead sacrifice. God says, I want you to offer a living sacrifice. I want you to have your life offered back to me while you're alive. A living sacrifice. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Well, if you live in your body, that's everything. That's everything. That's your whole life. Once you leave your body, you can scrap that. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So that tells us that if it's a living sacrifice, then it's only going to be a sacrifice that's pleasing to God if it's a holy sacrifice. I can't offer to God my sin. Say, so, you know, I told a lie, Lord, how are you with that? No. I offer a holy sacrifice. My whole life. And he says, and pleasing to God. So there must be some things that God is not pleased with. And if you're going to do something to offer God something that's pleasing, you've got to know what is pleasing. Some people have the notion, as religion does, that anything I do that I think is pleasing to God is pleasing to God. That's not true, as we'll see today in the Word. You can do a lot of things that are not pleasing to God. And so he makes it plain here, I want you to offer your life, your whole life, as a living sacrifice. So it's another way of saying it is to live a sacrificial life. Now that is a challenging concept in itself, a sacrificial life. Sometimes we may be inclined to not sacrifice. I'm too tired, I'm too hungry, I'm too lonely, I don't feel like it, I did that once before, etc. But how many of you think that Jesus said, wow, I get to go to Calvary? And it was quite a build-up to Calvary. So he would naturally, in his own physical frame, have every antagonistic opposition to knowing that he was headed for sacrifice. And I'm sure in your journey and my journey, we have those same kinds of emotions and thoughts and disinclinations to have a sacrificial life. I mean, even in something simple like standing in a service. Stand to your feet. Well, I don't feel like standing. I feel like sitting. Well, make a sacrifice. Imagine Jesus saying, well, you know, today is Wednesday. I don't feel like going to the cross today. But standing is part of our worship. Lifting your hands, part of your worship. Part of your living sacrifice to the Lord. So he says, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Notice what he says. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your spiritual, I think the King James translates it, service. That is one of those words in the Greek that has multi shades of meaning. And this word, proskuneo, here means to bow in reverence or to kiss in reverence. So there's this dimension of intimacy in offering your life back to God. Now back to what we celebrated here a few moments ago. God said, I want to have an offering. I want to have an offering back to myself. So I am going to, according to the book of Hebrews, I'm going to make a sacrifice of my son back to myself. And we call this the table of communion, the table of fellowship. God says, I will meet you in the place of sacrifice. And that's why you're here today. You're here today because God met you in the place of sacrifice. At some point in your life, He knocked on the door of your heart and He said, you know, my son died for you. The Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, my son died for you. Will you meet me at the place of sacrifice? Will you accept that He died for you and that He took your sin and your iniquity and your sickness and your disease and your poverty? Will you meet me there? And you said, yes, I choose to believe that you did do that for me. And you met Him at the place of sacrifice. And you had your first communion in your salvation. And so that's why the Bible says we celebrate this all through our lives. Because in the place of sacrifice, in the place of offering something to God, God says, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there. Another reason why it's vital to participate in worship. Because in worship, we're coming to the place of sacrifice where He meets us. We have communion with Him. Whatever I have to get past to get to that place of communion with Him is really two things, an act of my will and an act of faith. I'm sure you've been in a service where you came in disinclined to worship. Hello? Once or twice? Maybe there was some condition that was ravaging your body, or some set of circumstances that was plaguing your mind, or oppressing you or holding you down. And everything inside your soul said, I don't feel like it today. I'm going to sit down and fold my hands and just get through the meeting. But you made a choice. You made a choice. He said, no, no. We read it today. He's worthy. Is He worthy only on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Is he worthy only when I feel really good? Or is He worthy all the time? He's worthy all the time. And so no matter how sick and tired and oppressed and discouraged and difficult your life has been, you're going to stand like a man who lost his whole family in an auto accident a few hours before. And he said, you know, the most appropriate thing I can do while I don't understand anything is lift my heart with my hands and magnify my Savior and my Redeemer. He's worthy. He's worthy. You see, the whole purpose of this series on worship, as we kind of endeavor to open it up and look at all the various sides of it, is that our lives might become a wider and deeper offering to Him. And that what we do in here becomes wider and deeper. Because that's what the world is waiting to see. They're looking for somebody who's met Jesus at the place of sacrifice, has had a profound experience, and has come away with an incredible provision to give away. That's what they're looking for from you and from me. And so that's why Paul reminds us, or the Holy Spirit reminds us through what's written here, to offer your life as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Turn over with me to page 3. Now I mentioned this word proskuneo, which means to kiss the hand or the ground, to render respect, etc. That's one of the words translated worship in the New Testament. And it really tells us that you can kneel, you can bow, but the idea is that even if you're doing it outwardly, the most significant thing is there's something intimate, some communion that's taking place on the inside. It's easy to go through the motions, isn't it? It's easy to kind of live in the routine. Probably most of you are sitting pretty close to the seat that you sit in most every Sunday. In fact, if you get up from your seat right now and look on the seat bottom, upside down of the chair, it has your name on it. No, it doesn't. In fact, it might be an interesting rearrangement if we wrote all of your names on different seats and you had to find yours to sit in it. But we are creatures of routine, and there are good things to good habits. There are benefits from that, but there are also some detractions, some things that if we're not careful, we can do that because this is what we do. And we don't want to have form without substance. So at the bottom, then another Greek word is sebomai, translated worship in the New Testament. It means to revere or to reverence, to hold in awe, to fear, as in the fear of the Lord. Now, this is something oftentimes it's not really participated in life. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Referring to Lydia. So one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And this is the particular word. It's a different word out of several words used. She had this fear of the Lord. She revered God as God. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 7 says, then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. This is somebody who revered, who honored the Lord as God. Acts chapter 19, verse 26. It says, and you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. Oh, there's a note. There's danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. Some people give reverence to the wrong god. The wrong god. And so you can see how explosive this issue of worship is. They want to kill him because he's actually promoting a worship of a different god. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. You see, respecting God for who he is means that you acknowledge that he's the Lord that can heal your death sentence body. He can actually keep you lying on the ground so that you are physically immovable. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that. I have many times. The power of God came on me and I fell on the floor and I couldn't get up. I couldn't physically. I was perfectly well, healthy. But God says, you're staying there. You're staying there. Because when you stay there, you don't get up and do anything. And because you have to stay there, you're probably going to have an opportunity to think about me and consider me in ways that you weren't. You have an encounter with God. It's a great reminder of how powerful God is. I think, you study revivals, and when God knocked people down and they couldn't get up, sometimes for days, during the Toronto blessing here, we had a woman who came and God knocked her on the floor. And when she got up, her hand shook like this, like she had some sort of physical problem. She had no problem like that before she fell down, but when she got up, her hand was like this. The following Sunday, she was still doing this. She said, you know, Pastor, it makes it really difficult when you're trying to take a bath and your hand keeps going like this. She said, then I went to work. And my hand was, and you know, I was trying to explain. You know? She couldn't explain why her hand was doing this. I mean, in any way that they would understand, you know, we'll give you some more medical attention. When you're talking to somebody and they're just kind of going like this, you think, okay, yeah, they got some sort of palsy, some sort of condition. And she thought, well, yeah, I have a condition. It's called Jesus. I don't know how to explain this. You know, they're going to think I have other conditions if I tell them that's what it is. You know, but eventually it stopped. It stopped. It stopped. You see, God has no problem with displaying himself in our ways, in our lives, in such a way that it's difficult for others to understand. He has no problem with that. No problem at all. In fact, miracles are often that way. Nobody expects in this world expects a miracle to take place. So, it's vital to recognize that the God you serve can actually cause a hurricane to miss you. He can make you laugh uncontrollably. How many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit come upon you where you laughed uncontrollably? Yeah. I remember we were during the Toronto blessing, and it was such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Marilee and I invited this pastor and his wife to come to our house. She just had a miscarriage. And so we sat in the front room. I said, okay, tell me the story. And she told the story of her miscarriage. And she was, along with her husband, quite profoundly grieving over this experience. And when she finished, the Holy Spirit came on Marilee and myself. Well, I didn't even have a chance to say anything, and we both fell on the floor and started laughing. I mean, we were laughing and laughing and laughing. Now, this is not an appropriate response to somebody who is grieving. And the problem was, every time I looked at her, I laughed more. And we're laughing, and you know what happened? The same Holy Spirit came on them. And they fell on the floor. So here's four adults on the floor in our front room, and we're laughing and laughing. And every time we look at each other, I mean, this isn't, you know, some little light chuckle. This is really going for it. And we laughed, I think we laughed for almost 2 hours. You know, that's supernatural. You can't laugh for 2 hours and still walk. It's not God. And we finished and we got up. And they were so amazed. All the grieving had gone out of them. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is a medicine. And God says, okay, I'm just going to give you some heavenly medicine. You've had the earthly news. I'm going to give you some heavenly medicine. And he did. God is powerful. He's amazing. He's amazing. You know, I believe God's going to come again with that. I believe that from what my Bible says, there's a joy that's coming to God's people that is so irrational and unreasonable. You won't be able to give a logical explanation for it. And itself will have such a power to penetrate people's lives, just like it did in our front room. So he can make you laugh uncontrollably. He can take your car out of harm's way. Have anybody ever experienced that? You're driving and something happens and you know if God hadn't been there supernaturally, you wouldn't be here today. We were traveling to Marilee's parents. There was a series of S-curves that go downhill just as you approach where her parents live. It was late at night, it was dark, and it was rainy. and there was a ditch on both sides. No, it was a bank on one side that went a drop off, and then a pretty good sized ditch on the other side. And as I went into one of these blind corners, about 40 miles an hour downhill, I noticed two big headlights from a big lorry that was on the wrong side of the road coming straight at us. I had a big American car at the time. It was barely enough room to, and one lane to get it in. But I'm in the same lane, headed straight for this lorry who's on the wrong side of the road. And so I turned into the bank. That seemed of the options I had. Three options: hit the truck, go over the bank, or go into the side of the bank. So in a millisecond, I went into the bank. As I stand here today, there's no way on earth that car should have remained straight and continued around the curve. There was not room between the truck and my car and the bank for another car. I got around the corner, and the car's on the right side of the road, still going, and I'm looking at Mary like, only angels got that car there. You come out of that kind of experience, you say, you know, there's a purpose for my life. There's a purpose for my life. God Almighty sees everything in your life. And so when you worship Him, you can gather up all of your encounters with Him. Say, God, You're worthy. I wouldn't even be here today if a million times You hadn't spared my life. I want to offer something back. I want to offer back something to You. You are Almighty. Almighty. Bring back to life from the dead your sister-in-law. I put that in, doesn't that? You can put anybody's name there. But you know, God can do these things. And He does. My brother was driving with his wife from the western side of America to Colorado Springs. His wife took ill in the car. She said, could we stop and get some sort of something to remediate, alleviate the pain she was experiencing? She didn't know what it was. She just knew she needed something for pain. And so he pulled off some little place where there were a few shops and looked like some place where we could get some medicine. He turns the engine off. She stays in the car and he goes in to see if he can buy something. When he comes back out, his wife is slumped in the car. He comes over to her. He tries to rouse her. He can't rouse her. He takes her pulse. She has no pulse. There's no breath coming out of her mouth. She's dead. But he made a decision at that point. And so he took hold of her and he commanded the spirit of death to come off of her in Jesus' name. And she sat up and started spitting and coughing a little bit. And then she said to him, she said, Mike, she said, I had the most amazing experience. She said, I was headed down this long hall. It was dark, but there was light at the end. And she said, then all of a sudden, I was back down that hall and back here. God intersects our lives. Sometimes, you know, we need to hear sort of things like we were hearing today, the testimonies you hear today, because it's a reminder that we serve a God who is mighty, and He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy every day. You get out of bed some days and your body doesn't feel quite like it should, but He's still worthy. He's still worthy. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And Yes. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, sometimes my computer has a little demonic oppression. What are you laughing about? You must have that same demon working on your computer. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25 says, "See to it you don't refuse the Lord who speaks. If they didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven?" So he says, the prophets spoke to the Old Testament saints, and sometimes they didn't hear, and so stuff happened. And he says, if we have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us from heaven, you know, we need to recognize this warning. If we turn away from him who warns us from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. In fact, Mount Sinai, as you know, it just was vibrating with such a shaking that Israel said, "Hey, we're staying away from that mountain. God doesn't even have to tell us to go, not go there. We're not going there." At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now as promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. You know, we're familiar with things like earthquakes and typhoons and hurricanes and tornadoes and all those kinds of things. But here God says, I'm going to shake also the heavens. Our world is concerned about climate change today. That's only just a small vibration, if it is. But I'll shake the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, I like that. Because the kingdom has a king, and the king is the shaker. So where he rules, it can't be shaken. The kingdom cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. Because, you know, I like one of the prophets. He says, why should I fear when the wicked increase and terrible things go on in this world? Why should I fear? That's true. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. Everybody say acceptably. With reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, I've had a few opportunities to observe how people respond when there are what's called natural disasters. And the sense of terror that shakes their life is amazing. If you're in an earthquake, if you've ever been in an earthquake, or you've ever stood next to a volcano, or some other major type of creation issue where the earth is shaking, you don't have a historical reference point for that kind of experience. And you come away from it, and you say, you know, God is in charge of my life. He is in charge of my life. You have a deep appreciation for the awesome power of God. And, you know, this is an important balance. We have the what's called the immanence of God, the nearness of God, and we have the omnipotence of God, the power of God, or the transcendence of God. God is above and beyond anything and everything because he made everything. And so he's incredibly powerful and great. But he's also loving and so close. So we appreciate all those wonderful things that God does in that close, intimate relationship that we have through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, we don't forget His greatness. You know, when I get to heaven, I'd like to have the opportunity to talk with Moses and some of the Israelites and just ask him, so what was it like when you were going across the Red Sea? And you can see the walls of water on both sides. Whoa! What was it like? And you know, that's one of the reasons why I believe God is going to shake things in the last days, because He has to wake up the population of the earth that He's God. The Creator is God. Because man thinks he's God, and he worships himself. And so we understand this sort of deep reverence and fear, and the fear of the Lord, another way of translating that is a deep and profound life-shaping respect. Latruo, another Greek word there, means to worship publicly, perform sacred services. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And verse 40. So they told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. This was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. So what were they doing? They said, okay, you know, Moses, you gave us all these laws and rules about worship and how it was supposed to take place and what the acceptable sacrifice and what isn't and what we could present to God, what we could eat and what we couldn't eat. You gave us all these laws and we were following you and, you know, that's what we were doing. But now you've taken off. You've gone up the mountain to be with God. We can't even get near you. And we're so afraid of God, we can't even go near the mountain. It says, but our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and their hearts turned back to Egypt. And they told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. That was the time they made an idol in the form of a calf. They brought sacrifices to it. They used to bring sacrifices to God through the priest, but now they're bringing sacrifices to another god through Aaron. They brought sacrifices to it and held a celebration in honor of what their hands had made. They were really, in effect, worshiping themselves. It's kind of amazing. But God turned away from them and gave them over. They worshiped God. Then they didn't worship God. God says, okay, you're not going to worship me. I'm going to turn you over to a different worship. God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. In other words, creation. This agrees with what it's written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You lifted up the shrine of Molech, the star of your god Rephan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. God says, worship what and how is important. You know, I don't know. I watched a little bit of the Eurovision Song Contest. Okay, forget the UK came last. But wherever you have music, you have a connection to worship. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, because the worship leader of heaven was Lucifer. Before he became the devil. And I was just interested to see what kind of worship is going on in our world. And one of the countries in the Eurovision Song Contest, this was their offering. Their singers were all dressed in bondage and masochistic dress. And I would put a picture up, but I won't. It was that revulsion. That's their singers and dancers. That's how they were dressed, men and women. And this is what they sang. And the author of this particular group is called 21 Lucifers. This was on last night. 21 Lucifers. I wonder where they got that. Do you know anybody in family who's named one of their children Lucifer? Hello? I don't think so. But here's the title of the song they presented before the world with their incredible choreography and light display and flames shooting up off the floor. Interesting. Here were the words entitled Hate Will Prevail. And doesn't that sound like, you know, a song you could really get into? Not really. We want to go on the world stage and sing a song that's entitled Hate Will Prevail. Pure hate breeds on the soil, feeding the gap between chaos and fear, like emotions pending on your scrapes. Held as future for some, burning the ashes down for lack of bleeding commitments, a one-way to demise. Is this your knife plunged in my back? Hate will prevail. Torture, cancel your will, struggle and contemplating, all for none. The scalpers return without a trace. Is this your knife plunged in my back? Hate will prevail. On your knees, pray for sickness. Then bring forth the mortals, waiting for the one to grind you down. Debauchery unconstrained, hangover uncontained. Life's purposeless confusion, the void will swallow all. Hate will prevail. Every joy derail, just treacherous illusion, fraud and futility. All that I saw, tears ran raw, all that I gave, that I once gave, I gave you all. Universal obfuscation, unilateral execration. From gullible delusion, escape will be curtailed. The void will swallow all. This gives you a little of the growing temperature of our world. You know, this is a country's national offering to the global audience. This is what we should celebrate. So you can see why I have a passion for digging deep our worship, because I know worship is a war. Worship's a war. Satan says, I'll give you everything in this world if you worship me. Now, what a deception. He knew he'd have everything if Jesus worshiped him. So he'd have both. He'd have worship and he'd have everything. So if this is a wake-up call, you say, Pastor, that's a horrific song. I can't imagine you're even wanting to say that in a morning. I want to say it in a morning message because I want you to see how significant what's really at stake in worship. It's a spiritual conflict. And so when I don't feel like worshiping, I feel whatever, there's a war going on. It's not just me having an off day. There's a war going on. And I need to recognize it. So, worship in the Bible is something that goes on in here. It goes on in here. And it goes on when you go out of here. It's your life offered back to God. Now, I'd like to close today on part of our worship. One of the things that God teaches us is that He has designed the way we should come before Him. You study world religions, man has his own ways, and they all kind of vary. But they are ways of approaching their deity or their supreme being or beings. But God says, I've designed the way that my creation should honor me. And one of the ways He does that is through thanksgiving. In fact, He says thanksgiving isn't just, you know, in the moment that you're receiving something. He says thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's the way you live. And that's why He says, in everything, give thanks. In the midst of it. He doesn't say for everything. If I slug Tommy in the face and his nose is bleeding, He doesn't say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for my nose is bleeding. He can say, thank you, Jesus, in the circumstances. He's not thanking for a bleeding nose. He's thanking the Lord in the circumstances. He's saying, God, you're greater than anything, including my hurting nose. And when he acknowledges that God is greater, God said, oh, that's my opportunity. Woo, that's my opportunity. You just invited me in. You just welcomed me. Shoo. Nose fine. I was teaching a class, and I went to the class thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this class. I had one of those colds with a capital C. You ever had one of those? Your eyes and nose seem to run constantly. Your head aches. You got all the burning in your body. If there's anything you don't feel like doing, it's standing in front of a group of people and preaching and teaching faith. I would much rather have been sitting at home watching some old black and white film. Okay. None of you have ever done that. All right, okay. But I wasn't there. I was in front of a group of people. And it was part of our process that we would start with just a few minutes of spontaneous praise. We'd sing a chorus through once and then lift our hands and just kind of sing a new song to the Lord and just worship before the class. And so we did. We started, we sang the chorus, and then we just began to worship the Lord. We bring thanksgiving to Him for His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His kindness, for all that He has. I mean, your mind just can go on and on for the things you can give thanks for. So the whole class is singing their own song simultaneously to the Lord, giving thanks to Him. I'm joining with them. Might have lasted 2 minutes. But in the end of those 2 minutes, every single symptom in my body disappeared. Nobody prayed for me. All I did was give thanks in the circumstance. God says, I like this. I'm coming close. I'm coming close. And I'd like you to stand to your feet right now. It's okay, Marilee. I got some music. This morning in prayer, in our leader's prayer, we were instructed to believe and not doubt. And you know that's the truth, don't you? Five of you. Believe and not doubt. So we're going to finish the service today with a song that says, I'm going to just give thanks to the Lord because He's my healer. He's a miracle worker. He's a God of wonders. And because I'm a man of faith and you're a woman of faith or a man of faith, you're just going to say goodbye to the stuff that doesn't belong in your life. Can you do that?
Yes.
Can you do that today? Let me tell you what happened this morning. We're just doing this downstairs in this little V room. We're just singing this song and giving thanks to the Lord. And we were kind of dancing too. We were dancing. Not a lot of room to dance down there, but, you know, as much as you can. Even old people can dance. You know. And we're doing this in faith. Well, I came to the meeting with a lot of knots in my shoulders and neck because somebody near me wanted to shampoo all the carpets in the house. So I've been doing, you know, a lot of furniture lifting and so on. And, you know, though I go to the gym, I'm not, you know, lifting weights that much. And so I was, you know, and if I went like this, you could hear all those knots cracking. But we started with the song you're about to hear. I said, okay, I'm just going to partake of magnifying Jesus, believe in Him. And as the song says, I'm saying goodbye to what doesn't belong. Jesus, you're awesome. You're amazing. And that's what I want you to do as we sing this song, as we participate in this song. Whatever condition, you're just going to say goodbye to that. I'm just going to worship you. Thank you, Lord. You're my healer. You're my savior. You're my deliverer. You're my provider. You're my fixer. You're my helper. Lord, all those. I just give you thanks for those. I guess, can you give God thanks for that? Okay. So I don't want to see anybody in their same seat. In other words, interact with God. Be free. Let's have some music. Let's go. No, that's not a... Come on. Yes. Yes. Go ahead, move out of your seat. Move out of your seat. Come on. Come on, move out of your seat. Move out of your seat. Come on. Be free. Yes. There you go. In you. Yes. Believe.
You are the God of miracles. You are the God of wonders. I believe. I believe. Believe. Yes. Believe. I believe.
Thank you, Lord.
In you, trust. In you.
you. Yes! Oh, Lord! Now you.
I trust in you.
I believe.
I trust in you.
Yes!
I
trust in you.
I believe.
Yes.
Miracle.
You are the
God of wonders.
You are the God of
all. I believe.
So long,
bye-bye.
Sorrow. Yes!
So long. So long, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Sorrow. Yes!
So long.
So long,
bye-bye.
Sorrow.
So long.
So long.
Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Pain and my sorrow.
Yes.
So long.
So long.
Bye-bye.
God of miracles, you are the God of wonders.
You are the God of power, so
I believe.
You are the God of miracles.
God. I believe. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now you need to check whatever was the condition, because it's not now. You said goodbye, it's gone.
Yes.
I want you to tell 10 people it's gone.
It's gone.
Come on. Give them a hug and tell them it's gone.